Obviously, the bulk of the Chosh Hashanah revolves around Kishofar and Malchus Chos and Shofar, so we spent a lot of time talking about that. We spent a little bit of time last week talking about how the mitzvah of Simcha does or doesn't play out on Rosh Hashanah, how that impacts some of the davening, the way we neg on Rosh Hashanah. So I thought for the bulk of today's Shia, we'll try to speak a little bit more about some of the Minhagim Hayom, the Minhagim that Klal Yisrael have on Rosh Hashanah. And many of these different Minhagim actually create whole worlds of halachas, a lot of Torah, a lot of Chedushim that revolve around what otherwise seem to be very, very simple Minhagim Yisrael. So some of these Minhagim have their sources going back way, 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 way back. And one of them is actually in the Gemara itself. The Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Krisus that it's appropriate on Rosh Hashanah to eat certain things that are a simanim tovim. So the Gemara spells out some of the ideas of what's considered to be a simanim tovim, to eat a Rosh Keves, to be a Rosh Lo Lezanav. Some people who can't tolerate Rosh Keves have substituted that with the Rosh Hadag. The Chazal speak about eating certain kinds of foods. The Gemara talks about selak and tamar, different kinds of things that have good simanim to them. So the Gemara raises a question about all these things that we do. This seems to be a potential violation of an issur deraisa. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says lo sarachashu, that you're not supposed to be nachash, you're not supposed to do these superstitious kind of things. So what kind of sounds like superstition? I'm going to eat a Rosh Keves, so therefore I'll get a job as Rosh Hashiva. But that's not the way the world works, so why isn't that considered to be a violation of nichush? So the Gemara says a very, very cryptic line. The Gemara says, afa b'sheim ha-nichush yesh b'simen. That's not considered to be a nichush, it's just a simen toiv. So what is the difference between a simen toiv and a nichush? So Rashi, the spot says that nichush means that you really believe it. It means if you really, really get tzotza hits, then you really think that eating your Rosh Keves is going to make or break your year. So that's in the Shavanis of the Reis, the Losan Achashu. Simen toiv means it's cute, it's nice, it gives you a good feeling, it's a good thing, it's a nice opportunity to daven and to wish everyone a Shana toiv, etc. So if you don't take it so seriously, then it's okay, as Rashi seems to say. I remember years ago, I was shopping right before Shoshana for some fish heads. So there was somebody, they ran out of a particular store I was in, fish heads, and there was somebody who was got very, very frantic. They got so upset at the store owner, that we had the fish heads, we're hanging over, shut out a fish head, gavalt kishu, they got so upset about it. So I was standing next to Rabbi Yosef Adler from Rinat at the time. So he was also like looking like, why are they getting so tainted about? So I said to him, this is l'kayim divirashi, this is mamash what the Gemara means, that's also in the Torah. I said, this is nichush. I said, I can't get so tainted, so I don't get the fish head, they're going to have a terrible, miserable year. So that's not such a good thing. Just try to get a fish, you can't get a fish head, so the world won't come to an end. So the Balamaisa Chazalim followed this Minhagim. So we followed this in Shulchan Aruch. We followed this practice has been quoted, has been accepted, Lalocha today, Lalocha Minik, whatever you want to call it. This is a fairly prevalent Minik. The Mishnah Berurah writes that all the different yirotzons that a person says, so they're not like written in stone, not like halach mashnasina, these yirotzons. If you look at different cards, they send you for different yeshivas, so they're different ones of different yirotzons for them, because some of them are for Yiddish and some of them are for Hebrew. You try to say the yirotzon that corresponds to what that food is, but some of the foods, let's say, have Hebrew names and some have Yiddish names, so they get all submissed. So you have two people are following two different cards. They're eating the same carrots, and they're saying two of them. One's saying Marin for carrots in Yiddish, and one's saying Gzardinena for Geza, for carrots in Hebrew. So it's not Los Escondidos, it's just there are two different languages. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have a particular, your own private simon that didn't make it to the official cards from all the most Asachesed Rei Yeshivas, if you didn't say that, I'm saying that. So if you want to make your own simon gangs, they also have a like, means different communities over the years developed these different simonim. So if you find a nice fruit that has a nice ring to it and you like that sounding, so then Mishnah Berurah says nothing. That's not innovative Judaism, that's just there's nothing wrong with it. The whole thing was never did in the first place. So that's what we do in our house. So we always try to find the Shechiyonu fruit. We'll talk about it in a minute where that came from. So in the second night of Rosh Hashanah, a lot of people are knowing to have a new fruit. So some 20 years ago, some of my wife once dug up in a fruit store star fruit. So I saw the star fruit on the table, so I said, well, there's a great opportunity to put this Mishnah into practice. So we added to our Seder Yoyim is, Shenia Kekech V'Shemayim L'Rov. So every year the same story. Every time I say that, Yerotzon, so everyone's at the table, where does it say it? It doesn't say it. So it doesn't say it. I made it up. And in my card it says, Kekech V'Shemayim L'Rov. So Shvizach is like, Kekech V'Shemayim L'Rov. When you do the Simanim and Rosh Hashanah, So you have to be careful that you don't end up violating some of the din of Hilchos Brachos. Hilchos Brachos are real din. Well, it's a nice, cute thing, but Hilchos Brachos are real din. So you have to be careful not to violate Hilchos Brachos. So when you have a whole array of fruit in front of you, so there are halachas that govern which bracha you make first. You're going to make a bracha on this fruit because the fruit is a davar shloba machmas sa'uda. The Gemara says in the sixth pack of brachas, when you have a whole meal and then you have fruit at the end of the meal for dessert, so you have to make a bracha. The fruit is not covered by that moitzi because it's davar shloba machmas sa'uda. Maybe you have like fruit, let's say a melon or something as an appetizer to a meal. That's a machlekes rishayim. That's tachlichos pesach sugya. Maybe we'll get to that after pesach, whatever we correspond to when we learn things. So in Hilchos Pesach, so the Rishayim have a machlokes as to why when you eat maror, don't you make a bracha on the, you don't make a bar priyadama on the maror. The Rishayim will bob the kasha. Why is there no bar priyadama on maror? The Gemara says that you make alachilas maror, but you don't say a bar priyadama. So the Rishayim go to town as to why and not. So that sugya taisis quotes a whole discussion. If you have a vegetable at the beginning of a meal, so is that a kind of a thing that would require a bracha or not? But here, when you have a fruit, so this is clearly like Shalom Machos Asuda. Who in the world sits down? You wash on a regular Tuesday afternoon, you wash and eat a pomegranate. You eat a date, who eats those kinds of things? So that's clearly Shalom Machos Asuda. So you have to make a bar per eight on one of the fruits. The question is, which fruit are you going to make it on? So you have to learn the six pechah brachas. I think the yeshiva is learning that next year, no? Is that on schedule for next year? Kitzvah Barchan? Is that on the... No? No one knows what the machzor is? Isn't that the schedule?
Sunday in brachas.
Oh, that's a six bar. Okay, we'll see what happens. Okay, unless they change it, like they've done in the past.
Sixes?
No, I'm talking about the yeshiva. The yeshiva is supposed to be Kitz Mavarcha next year.
Maybe
Kitz Mavarcha. Maybe Kitz Mavarcha. Suffer Kitz Mavarcha. Okay. I think I voted on it 6 years ago. Remember, I forgot what I voted for. Okay.
So,
what? So, there you go. Okay, good. You have to learn Bricha Mazel. It's the only Sitz Bracha Deraisa. So, there are klolim in the sixth pack of brachas when you have multiple fruits in front of you. Which bracha do you make on? So there's machlek zetterah, machlek zvishayin menapaskin. Whether you follow the min that's chaviv to you, the fruit that you really like more, or whether you follow the shivas aminim. So most of the rishayim, except the Ram, most of the rishayim paskin that you follow shivas aminim. And then even within shivas aminim, there's a kedima that you follow the fruit that's closer to the word eretz. Let's say you have Eretz Chitos Oira, Chitos Oira, the Geffen with the Enos. If you have a grape and a fig, so we pass if people like figs better than grapes, you still make the Barbarates on Geffen. That's considered to be more Rechoshev. Then the Gemara has a Chiddush that let's say you have a fruit that's closer to the word Eretz, but it's the second Eretz in the Pasuk, Eretz Yeshem Radvash. So you have, let's say you have a grape and a date. So I would have thought that the grape comes first because the grape is closer to the pasuk. So well, nope, that the date comes first because the date is closer to the word Eretz Yisrael. What a chavivas Eretz Yisrael. Well, even the fruit that's close to the word Eretz in the pasuk gets a hierarchy too. So the bottom line is I got a whole array of fruits on the table. So I got apples on the table. Why do I have apples on the table? Of course, in Europe they didn't have any fruits, so they had apples. So I just eat the apples. Some want to say, no, you eat the apples. It's tepuchen, chachlan tepuchen, all kind of apikabol. Okay, maybe. But the Yiddish lemon, they didn't have any fruit in any other fruit that grew in Europe. So they have apples on the table, and you have dates on the table, you have pomegranates, you have list them all along of simanim, you got starfruit on the table, you have whatever kind of different fruit. So which one do you make the bar parades on, which is the lucky fruit? So you have to follow the Kol Menuchos Brachos. So Tamarim is always going to win, because it's always going to be either Geffen, Te'ena, Rimon, no one's eating Geffen, Te'ena, no one's eating Te'ena, Rimon. It's usually going to be pomegranates and dates that are on the table. So even if you happen to like pomegranates better, but still dates have kedima because they're closer to the word Eretz. Even though they're made in the post, they're closer to the word Eretz Yisrael, therefore they get a kedima. So the only correct way to do it is to make the barparates on the dates. A lot of people make the barparates on the apple. Why? Because the song goes, dip the apple and on, you make a bracha lot in Kalei Shai. So people think that you make the barparates on the apple, but the emphasis is not really right. If you lived in Europe and you didn't have any other fruits, then you make a barparates on the apple. But if you live in America, you have other fruits, you should make the barparates on the date. So you have to, now the shadows, how do you coordinate the hirotzons? So the post can point out that there's a Gemara Masechta Darim that says that Malki Tzedek, when he greets Avraham Avinu after the war in Sodom, so it says that he gives two brachas. He gives a bracha to Avram, and then he gives a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says, Baruch Avram lekel yon Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch kel yon shemigin tzarech biyadecha. So he first blesses Avraham Avinu, and then he blesses Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara Nedarim says, that was a terrible mistake. That was a bizoyon to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't bless it. First you give a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then even bracha to Vasav Adab. So the Gemara says, because of that, he lost his kahuna. He was supposed to be destined to be, like, to have some role of something around, some of Vodas HaKahuna, L'deri Deris, Machi Tzedek, and Melech Shalem. He was the Kohen L'Kel Elyon, who Kohen V'Ein Ban of Kohenim, the Gemara says, that he lost that kahuna, and the reason why, because he didn't understand that you don't show cover to Basma Dom first. So the post can quote that Gemara and say that when you have it, you have an opportunity to give a bracha to a human being, or to give a bracha to Kodesh Baruch, you have to give to Kodesh Baruch first. So they point this out by the night of Rosh Hashanah. I'm giving a bracha to a human being, to myself. Shaniel Rosh Hashanah Tov Mesukah. You're asking for yourself. You're giving yourself some bracha. You're giving Klai Yisrael a bracha. So first you have to make a bracha to Kodesh Baruch. So you have to make a bracha per eight before you can give yourself brachas. So you have to make a bracha per eight, but then you can't then say Yirotzom, because it can't be mafsik. That's not sufficient to be mafsik between bracha and the achila. So the correct Seder Dvarim is that you make a bar per eight, then you take a little bite out of the date, and then you say the Yirotzon, Shitamu, Sonein, or whatever the Yirotzon is. Then all the other fruit, you can continue eating, Al Smach, you don't have to take another bar per eight, when you pick up an apple honey, so then you make Yirotzon, and then you take a bite out of the apple, and you pick up the pomegranate, you make Yirotzon. So all the other fruit, you can say the Yirotzon before you start to eat it. The only one you have to eat a little bit first is the date. That so this all get this pot as you this knocks you off for all the fruit.
There are the fruits on the table, but we're not planning them. Like I said, dates on the table, but we only make an apple. Do we make the bracha on apple, or we wear the apple?
No, if you don't want to eat dates, if you don't like dates, so then you're not mechuyav to eat dates. The din of kedima brachas only applies if you want to eat both foods. If I don't want
after, if you change your mind, eat dates later.
Means you really had when you ate the apple. If you had in mind not to eat the dates, you probably had in mind not to eat the dates, because otherwise you would have made a bracha on dates because you learned this shir. So then that's like nimloch. The Gemara says the end of psachim. If you make a bracha on one cup and then you decide to have another cup, you have to make another bracha. Good. Fine. So that's the Seder Dvarim in terms of that. In terms of after you made that first bracha on the correct Shivas Aminim, then there's no more dinim of Kadima. You don't have to then go for the pomegranates before you go to the apples. Once you made the bracha, it's open. There's no kadima that if I'm eating fruit, I have to eat the Shivas Aminim first. The din is if you're making a bracha, you have to make, that's how it's covered, a bracha. You have to make the bracha and the mochashiv one. We define the mochashiv one as the Shivas Aminim. Then there are other things that people eat. So you have the Rosh Keves and Rosh Dag, whatever other things that you have. So there you just make you say Yiratzim. There's no bracha on that. That people eat meat as a part of the meal. People eat fish as a piece of gefilte fish, a piece of white fish as a part of the meal. So those we assume are considered to be Dvar Mabarim, Machmas Asuda. I'm always a little weird about these vegetable stories, I'll tell you the truth, because you know, a lot of people put on the table, they put carrots and other things, and string beans, all kind of maislach they put out. And the question is that called machmas asuda or not? So some of the fruits hit me as being shalom machmas asuda, but the vegetables also, maybe there's also shalom machmas asuda. I don't know. That's what I do, again, I don't see this in print. It's not psach, just what I do is that I save the yirotzon or the carrots for when I have the soup. So there's usually carrots in the soup. So I make it on the, there's no dinner, it has to be on a raw carrot, it can be on a cooked carrot also. So I say it on the carrot in the soup, it's much part of the soup, that's for sure, b'machzah suda. So the string beans, so when they serve the main dish with the kugel and the string beans in the side, so, and that's all b'machzah suda, so then I don't make the bracha. But I don't know, I think some people, I think a lot of the cards say they make a bracha, I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't know. What do people do? I don't know. Nobody knows? Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, back to my story. So this simon is very complicated. Make sure it's not too much nichush involved. In addition to all the simon that we have in the first night, many people have to practice that on the second night. I think some people don't do it on the second night, but we do it on the second night because we have so much fruit, so we'll use it on the second night. So there's an additional minig to have a new fruit on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So that's based on something. That's nothing really to do with Rosh Hashanah. That's nothing to do with simonim. That's based on something totally different. The Gemara has a suffix in the end of the third paragraph of Eruvin, whether you make Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Because we say Shechiyonu on mitzvahs, and certain mitzvahs require Shechiyonu, which yes and which no. And then we also say Shechiyonu on Zmanim. When you have a Zman, which is Bobby's Bama's Man. You have an event a time in the calendar that's not so common, comes once a year, so then you have to recite a Shechiyanu. So the Gemara says that the Tovim, Amawadim, Regolim, those for sure require a Shechiyanu. Rashanim Kippur, the Gemara is not sure about, the Gemara includes Yataka. Rashanim Kippur also should take a warrant to Shechiyanu. That's what we pass in. So you say Shechiyanu, Rashanim Kippur. So some of the Rishonim say, when we say Shechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah, that's in the first night of Rosh Hashanah. But the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Shechiyanu. Why? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Beitz in the first parak that Chazal, when they were Masakin the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah to be a second day, they were Masakin conceptually very, very different than Sveik of the Yom of Chutz Loretz. Sveik of the Yom of Chutz Loretz was instituted as Beis Kedushas. That's a Sveik of the Yom. I mean, Bismanas, that's not even a Sufik anymore, but in the old days it was Mamash a Sufik. So we treat the first day as being a Yontif, and then we turn around the second day and say, oh, by the way, we goofed yesterday, it wasn't really Yontif, Taka today maybe is the real Yontif. So that's what's called Beis Kedushas. But they're not both Yontif. One is Yontif, we just don't know which is which. Rosh Hashanah, the Takana was made totally different because the whole Sugamina Beitza, the whole idea of the second day of Rosh Hashanah was made for a different reason. So the second day of Rosh Hashanah was instituted as a Yemei Richta, as Kedusha Achas. And the Gemara says, Chav Staf Kamin is Nodina. Let's say if you have an egg that was laid on the first day of Yontif. So it's Muktzah, it's Noilad. So Beitza Shnolda Bezeh, Mutar Es Bezeh. On the second day of Yontif, it's Mutar. Why? Because if the first day of Pesach is the real Yontif, then the second day is Chol HaMoed already. So there's no Se Muktzah. If the second day is the real Yontif, then there's the Beitza Shnolda Me'er Yontif. It can't be both. You can't have your egg and eat it. It can't be in the ma'aseh combination. It's either one day is Yontif or the other day is Yontif. By Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara, it's a machlokes, the Gemara, we pass in the halacha that by Rosh Hashanah, no the bezeh, sur bezeh. That if it was late on one day, it remains also to the next day as well, because it's all one kedusha achas. It's one long kedusha sayyoy midir abanan. So some Rishonim said that on a regular Yontif Sheini, we could say Shechiyanu, no problem. You could say Shechiyanu because Chazal and Misakin, that we say all brachos in Yontif Sheini like Yontif Rishon. The emes is, the Gemara says in Shabbos in the second parak, that when Chazal instituted Yontif Sheini, they really should not have told us to daven for Yontif. It really doesn't make any sense because it's just a suffix. So what are you making Kiddush be suffix for? What are you making Alchemist Matz be suffix? So you should eat the Matz without a brach, like all other Sveikis. So why do we go out of our way and make brachos in Yontif Sheini? The Gemara says it was an exception to the rule of suffix brachos. This is where you have to say, Sarbrach Lachma. Why? The Gemara says, Bishum Zilzel Yontif Sheini, because Chazal were afraid that if you're going to eat matzah on the second night of Pesach without making a bracha, well, you're going to tell a woman that she doesn't have to make a bracha when she benches lech. You're going to say, don't make a bracha on halal on the last day. Psychologically, once people do mitzvahs without bracha, so then the mitzvah tends to disappear. People think it's a chomer b'yam, it's a mitzvah chasidus, and then by next year, no one's doing it anymore. So therefore, they had to create this model of making all the brachas. So we mamish mimicked it. We come to Yontif Sheini, so Chazal and Misakin, we do exactly what we do. Whatever we did in Yontif Rishon, we just repeat totally, because otherwise it's going to lead to a tremendous zilz on Yontif Sheini. That's why the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Sukkah that there was one Yontif Sheini where Chazal couldn't institute a bracha, the hands were tied. That's Yontif Sheini of Hoshana Rabbah. When Shmini Atzeres is a suffix of it's still the seventh day of Sukkah, so if we have to eat in the Sukkah, the Gemara says, "It's amazing, Yisvini Bruchlam Vrachina," that you have to eat of Leis Breira because it's a suffix of Chutzal, it's a suffix of the last of Shvish of Shal Sukkah, it's a deraisa. So with the Rabbanim, we have to be machmir misuffik. So we should, Taka should have made a Leishah B'Sukkah based on all the rules that govern Yontif Sheini. We should have made a Leishah B'Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres also. The Gemara says you can't do that because it's the only Yontif Sheini that's going to stare the Yontif Deraisa, because it's Shmini Atzeres. We really know it's Shmini Atzeres. So if you're going to make Kiddush on Shmini Atzeres and then make a Leishah B'Sukkah, that's going to be a Bizayon to Shmini Atzeres. So Chazal and Mamet, they were in a pickle. They had a Steven in Bizayons. So if we make a bracha, we're making a Bizayon to Shmini Atzeres. If we make a bracha, we're making a Bizayon. What do you do? So they had to follow the Din Deraisa. The Din Deraisa is that Rov Yezel was not Ma'uber, and therefore most probably really a Shmini Atzeres. Taka probably not really suffering of Hashem. And therefore, Chazal and Misakin are very, very modern, very, very strange. At the Sheni Niyug on Shmini Atzeres, the Misakin Hilchas Amesiv Yasvin and Bruchlam Brachin, and even the Sukkah Misafin is suffering their Isa, so to speak. But they make believe it's suffering their Isa. But in terms of the bracha, your hands are tied. You can't make the bracha. That's the famous Pesach of the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. So it has been pointed out that what the Gemara said in Shabbos, that whenever there's no bracha, it leads to a zilzul. So, some people don't eat in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. So, it became a zilzul. Even though the Gemara says you have to eat in the Sukkah. So, Chazal would have made a bracha. It wouldn't have been such a zilzul. But what do you do? You can't blame Chazal. They had no choice. So, hopefully, we'll talk about this later in the year about where that minute came from. Someplace to not eating in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. But she did the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. Bottom line is that says in the Gemara, if you have any particular shayla, So I'll either be happy or not happy to talk to you about it privately. But when we get to Shemitah Teres Sugyos in December, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But bottom line, go back to that story. So Shechiyana, we do say on Yontif Sheinis, but Rosh Hashanah, some Rishonim say you don't say it. Why? Because it's Yom HaRichta, it's one long day. So other Rishonim said, well, that's not what one long day means. One long day means that vis-a-vis Hilchos Muktzah, Noila, those kinds of things. I daven shachar was the first day. I don't know if daven shachar was the second day. It was one long day. So I heard shofar yesterday. I don't know if I come to shul today. That's ridiculous. So just because it's one long day doesn't mean nuchas tefillah, nuchas brachas. One long day means, and chumras, nuchas muktzah. It's like doing nuchas brachas. And therefore, most of the Rishayim said you should make a shechiyonu on second day or shana also. The same machlaikis was about kishayf in second day or shana, whether you make a bracha or not. So we have a minhag, the Maram Rutenberg was cheshish for those Rishayim who said that maybe you shouldn't make a shechiyonu. So Rutenberg started a practice that he would always have a pre-chol. He would have a new fruit on the table on the second night of when he would make Kiddush, or he would wear a new beged or something when he would make Kiddush on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and he would tell the Baal Tekeh he should have a new fruit, he should have a new beged or something also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah to cover ourselves on all bases. So that's a chumrah. We don't really pass it. When Mikra didn't, we pass like Rov Rishon, we make a Shechiyonu just down because it's Yontif, That's it. You don't even need that chumrah. But that minhag exists
Adayim
Ezeh.
By a new beged, would
you
have to make a Shechiyonu right away, or you can wait for later? She's
Well, you should try to make shechiyonu the first time you wear it. You're really supposed to make it when you buy it, but that's way often we buy begadim they're not really ready yet. So when you wear it, you're supposed to there. So there's some who had that practice. Well, the emes is it's a little bit of a not really no lemaisa b'zmanazeh for two reasons. First of all, the whole thing of shechiyonu on pre chodesh b'zmanazeh is very very shaky because Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that it only makes sense to say shechiyonu when you have a fruit that you couldn't get. The whole idea is kabbalah k'simchas hayoyim. I couldn't get this fruit for months and months and months, and now all I got in season. Today, you go to any food store, you can get pretty much anything. Things are if they're not in season here, they're in season in the southern hemisphere, and then they get shipped up here, so you can get peaches, plums, whatever. I mean, you look hard enough, you can find pretty much anything with manas there. So Rav Moshe said, the whole idea of making shechiyonu in America, new fruit, breaks down. So it doesn't bode well for the Tu B'Shvat people. So people like to make a lot of shechiyonu, so it's hard to defend that, says Rav Moshe. New clothing is also very, very questionable. The Rav said that in the olden days, I bought a suit, it was lucky, got a suit for his bar mitzvah, got another suit for his chasana. You didn't buy clothing. Today, every 6 months, you guys buy a new suit, a new something. So people don't get so excited about new clothing. So the only clothing that when I get a new talus, I just got a new talus a couple of months ago, one of my taluses had ripped already, it was beyond repair. So I bought a new talus. I hadn't bought a new talus in 10 years. I was so excited, I had a new talus. I made a shechiyonu on the talus. Kind of candle chadash, a beged and chadash. But I buy a suit. Every 6 months I buy a new suit. So I don't make shechiyonu on suits. So according to both Rav Moshe and the Rav, we put that together. So what are you running around Bashan looking for a star fruit for? So if I ate a star fruit today, I wouldn't make shechiyonu. Yeah, because the Baram of the Brick said it, so we do it. So Zelzain, so that's the thing. So Kach Nogav is saying that I have a new fruit of the day. Well, it's also a nice simon, new fruit, new fresh, yeah. But it's a new he wrote something made up. But it doesn't really accomplish all that much. Remember a couple of years ago, there was an article in the New York Times about the exotic new fruits that people use in Rosh Hashanah. I don't know why the Goyim felt this was fascinating, but there was an article that people were spending hundreds of dollars on buying new fruits, and this was outdoing this one. Nonsense. He said, the whole thing is it doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. And even the time that it applied, it was upset. Das Yochid from Mam Ruthim, from Amidis Chasidis, Mam Ruthim, to spend $500 on, should give the money to Tzedakah, be much more productive. Anyway, whatever it is. Okay, so let's see if we can finish up a couple of other Minhagei Yisrael. There is a minhag that I'm going to quote to say Tashlich. So the minhag is also to say Tashlich on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, unless the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, then the minhag is to push it off. The reason why they push it off was because they would go to the rivers, and the rivers were usually outside of the Arab, so they were afraid people were going to carry their machzerim. So you see from that minhag that in Europe they used to say Tashlich on the first day, they were carrying the machzerim. You see that, and they were going out of the Erev. So you see that you're allowed to carry the machzer to say Tashlich on Yontif. Otherwise, what's the Zishabs on Yontif? So why do you find that startling? Because there is a machlaikis and Mishainim about when you carry something on Yontif, the Mishnah says in Beit Zedaf Yudbeis that you're allowed to carry Sefer Torah, allowed to carry push a baby carriage, you're allowed to carry a lulav, shofar, etc. on Yontif. We pass like Beis Hillel, Mitach, Shehut, Shehut, Tzolot, Tzolot, Nam, Shalot, Tzerech. that just as you're allowed to carry food, that's for sure motzei chol nefesh, you're allowed to carry for other things as well. So there's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on that sugya stuffy base about does that mean you can carry for no reason at all? So Rashi learns ben Hatorah, you can carry anything you want, people parak ben Hatorah. There's no tzarech whatsoever. And Tosfos says no. Tosfos says if you carry something shalolah tzarech klal, that's an issur deraisa. The only chiddush of the Mishnah is that if it's a lulav, it's a shayf, it's a baby, these are things that enhance the yontif. So those kinds of things you're allowed to carry. But if you carry stam shalot tzarech, that's a problem. That's machlokes the mechaber and the Ramban paskin. So the Ramban nuchas yontif is machmir like Tosfos that you're only allowed to carry. So there is a machlokes harishonim in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim whether a mitzvah de rabbanon qualifies as a sufficient enough tzarech hayoyim. Maybe all the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, lulav and tzitzit and shofar, pushing the baby, simchas yontif, but things that are just stam mitzvahs de rabbanon. So there's a ran in Maseches Pesachim that seems to say that a mitzvah de rabbanon maybe wouldn't qualify. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't pass like that ran. Taisa says that a mitzvah de rabbanon is also called tzarech hayoyim, and that's mikra than how we pass it. So some later achrayim said, but medim amamurim, a mitzvah, at least it's a mitzvah de rabbanon. Something that's just a minig the alma. So you're allowed to carry just to fulfill a minig. So that's the big machlokes. We'll hopefully talk about that. We'll talk about it was yontif later on in the year. You're allowed to light a yurtzeit candle on yontif proper. So lighting a yurtzeit candle for yiska, for yurtzeit, things like that. Those are only minhagim. Those are not. Those are not a halacha to that. So is that enough for tzorich to light a candle? So according to some rishonim, it's an issur deraisa to light shalot tzorich klal. So that's the shaila that the poskim raised about tashlich. How can you carry a machzor? In Europe they did because haraya, since they changed the not saying of Yisk, not saying Tashlich on the first day of Shabbos, because they were concerned about carrying the Mazar, but in Yom Tov they did carry the Mazar. So what's the head there? What's the tzarech to carry? To say Tashlich, well, that's the grandiose tzarech hayom. What's the tzarech hayom? It's in the minig anyway. So maybe one could defend that on the following, that even though it's not only a minig to say Tashlich, it's davening. I'm davening to Rebbe Shimon. So tefillah is a mitzvah deraisa. According to the Rambam, it's a chiyuv every day. Even according to the Ramban, be a tzoror, or even it's a kiyum a tefillah. So any time that I daven, I speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's considered to be a tzorech hayoyim. So carrying a siddur, carrying a machzor, even for something as insignificant in the world of Allah as tashlich, so mustama that would also be acceptable. Then how am I allowed to carry the machzor back home? So that's what the din is. Yitiyu sofer shum tchilosan. That on yontif, if I carry something that I need, so I'm allowed to bring it back. Because there's no safe place to leave it. I'm going to leave it by the river. I'm going to leave it by the lake. It's going to get lost. It's going to get ruined. So because if I don't bring it home, then I won't carry it in the first place. So my carrying it back home is also like it's to make a shtichel hotzol tzorech. So that's what the oilim seems to rely on. Again, most of our communities have Erevin, and usually when we go for tashlich, usually wouldn't the Erev anyway. But even those people who go outside the Erev for tashlich, so they're relying on that it's some kind of a tzorech. I remember years ago, I used to be trying to be makbid to learn a little bit from that. I would bring like the Atzko Tashlich, so I would learn one of the Pshetlich on the bottom. So that was the Tzarech. Talmud Torah, that's saying Tashlich is under Ramana, but learning Tashlich, learning the Sikhs of Tashlich. They're right, Sam, a new Pshat in Mikhail Kamoicha, my regular Shkut, Chalak Kochi. That was in the old days. And now, just that my kids carry the Tashlich. It's Tashlich in my heart. Some people stand Tashlich for an hour and a half, Mamish, with Tefillah. And I said, very, very, only the part in the bold print in the Atzko. Whatever it says, you have to learn. So. I wish you have a good pranah. So good. Whatever you daven, it's always a mishumach. There's a minig that, based on the Rishalmi, not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So the Ari HaKadosh says that minig only applies before Chatzos. It doesn't apply after Chatzos. After Chatzos, the din is over already, so you can sleep as much as you want. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that as a possibility. The Mishnah Berurah quotes others who say that if you're sleeping because you want to get your strength to not mincha, to learn a little bit later in the afternoon, that's okay. The yisr of sleeping, or the yisr, the minig of sleeping, whatever that minig is, so that's if you stop doing nothing productive. So the Mishnah Berurah says, yoshev batel, it's ki yoshev domi. If you're sitting around doing nothing, you're twiddling your thumbs, you're playing a board game or something, it's better to go to sleep. You'll do less of it, you won't speak less nerve if you go to sleep. So it's better to go to sleep than sit around to yoshev batel. So it means if your mom shavot the kechas to learn it, why don't you just go take a nap for no reason? So you think I shouldn't do that, right? That's not appropriate in Rosh Hashanah, but we need to sleep to give you kechas to continue to learn a daven later in the afternoon. So you don't have to feel so guilty about taking a short nap on Rosh Hashanah. There is a minig that the davening goes fairly long in Rosh Hashanah. It usually goes past Chatzos. There are different nuances in the Pelskim as to whether it goes till Chatzos, after Chatzos, drop full Chatzos. We're not so machbid on the Chatzos story on Rosh Hashanah. Normally in Shabbos and Yontif, the Yishami says you're supposed to eat before Chatzos, otherwise that's like fasting. And we Paskim not really allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. So this idea of fasting to Chatzos, that we're not so machbid on Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? because some Rishonim say, some Gaonim say, there's the mitzvah to fast Rosh Hashanah. Some Gaonim say, you're allowed to fast, or some even say, as far as the mitzvah to fast. So we don't fast like that. Shulchan Aruch, we pass that you're not supposed to fast Rosh Hashanah, but legabe chatzois, that's a psachumma, that's a chumma, but that's like an added dimension. So I to the kach, we rely on those Rishonim vis-a-vis chatzois. And most shuls go past chatzois, we don't worry about it. The Marshal says that on Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you shouldn't go past the chatzos, you should finish the davening early. But Mishabur quotes that, but others disagree with that also. Others say that even on Shabbos, you can go past the chatzos. Shere Chazbe Shabbos is also something you have a right to rely on that idea that we're not so machbid on chatzos. Okay, anyway, so we gave a little bit of a summary of some of the inyanim related to Rosh Hashanah. I thought we'd have enough time to talk about some of the inyanim of Aseres Metshuva, but we have to put that off after Sukkos. So remind me, before we start the Yom Kippur Shurim, we'll do the Aseres Metshuva Shurim after Superstar, so then we'll just right on target. Okay, good. Thanks, and thank you. Seems to be a lot of luck in the learning of the